There is a word from the Lord on this day that the Lord has given us. As we have heard our scripture read so eloquently by Reverend Hayes, I thank you. I thank our worship leader for leading us in worship this morning and this worshiping choir that has prayed, that has sung, and the prayers that have gone forth. God has truly been with us this morning. As I sat there and I thought about it, I said, well, my sermon is coming forth through song, it's coming forth through prayer, it's coming forth through just our fellowshipping with one another. So I know that I'm on the right page. I know that God sent me here today to preach to you the word of God. As we have heard in our scripture lesson, as I have mentioned. And I want to tag today's sermon with the title, Prayer Changes Things. As I sat there and I heard Deacon Robinson say over and over again, pray. Don't cease in your prayer. As I know that we have intercessors and prayer warriors in this church that pray week after week for us and for this church and for our pastor, we know that prayer changes things. Prayer makes a difference. Let us look to the Lord. Our Father and our God, I thank you today, Lord, for allowing me to stand behind this sacred desk. Lord, I thank you as our pastor is taking a moment of deserved rest, God. I ask that you would be with him. I thank you, God, for speaking to his heart that he would entrust me to stand behind this desk and speak to the sheep, God, that you have made him shepherd over. God, I take it not lightly, and I certainly ask, God, that you would fill me today with your anointing. God, you know I am an empty vessel before a full fountain. I ask that you would use me, God, to speak to your people and give them a word of encouragement. Because, Lord, we all need some encouragement. These are trying times, God, but we serve a God who is able to do anything but fail. He's a God that knows how to work it out. And so, God, we thank you today for working out our various situations. Lord, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. Amen. In these scripture verses, we have read and in our hearing find a recitation of one of the many miracles the Bible tells us that God used his prophet Elisha to perform. In fact, this is the seventh of eight miracles recorded that is accounted to Elisha. When we remember Old Testament miracles and wonders, Elisha is at the top of the list under his mentor, Elijah. What is interesting about miracles, whether performed by the Old or New Testament prophets or Jesus himself, they all required prayer. They required a natural action to get a supernatural result. We can remember some of the more notable miracles of Elisha. God used Elisha to help the praying widow. We know the story of how her husband died and he owed a great deal of money. She prayed and God sent Elisha to help her so that her sons would not be sold into slavery to pay off the debt. Elisha asked the question, "What do you have in the house?" Her response was, "I only have a pot of oil." The miracle came through obedience. The pot of oil became a lot of oil. The miracle came through obedience, enough to pay off the debts and provide for the widow and her son. Prayer changes things. Most of us have heard the story about the Shulamite woman and how she was without child, but through prayer and obedience, her womb was blessed to bring forth a son. And even after having this child, she thought she would never have. One day he became sick and he died. She knew the man of God, Elisha, was a praying man, so she went to him and asked him to come and see her about her son. Elisha came and laid upon her son face to face and hand to hand, and he prayed. The first time, nothing happened. But when you pray, you have to realize that, like Elisha, that if change doesn't come right away, just keep right on praying. Elisha prayed again, believing God, and life returned to the young boy whose spirit had left his body. There are a few more miracles. Some are more talked about than others. One of my favorites is the one about the healing of Nahum. Nahum, king of the host of the king of the Syrian army, was a leper. In one of his conquests, he brought home a young Jewish girl who became his wife's mate. The young girl told his wife that a prophet of her God, Jehovah, was in Samaria and could heal the master of his leprosy. Nahum heard this and went and told his king, who gave him a letter and told him to take it to the king of Israel. And off he went. Upon arriving there, he went straight to the king. When the king read the letter, he tore his clothes and cried out in fear, "Who am I, God, that I could heal you?" You see, this king was like many others, was wicked and was not following in God's sight. He did not believe in prayer. When Elisha heard about the leper, Nahum, who had come and who had brought the letter to the king, he sent word to the king, "Send him to me." Nahum and his fleet of horses and chariots went to Elisha's house and stood at the door. Elisha did not come out. He told his servant, "Go tell him to go down to the river Jordan and wash himself 7 times, and then his skin will become clean again." Nahum was angry because Elisha didn't come out and speak to him himself, but he sent his servant. He was even more outraged that Elisha sent him to Jordan, which he thought was inferior to the great rivers of his land where he was from. What Nahum did not know is that healing was in the prayer and obedience in the answered prayer. A thinking servant came to his master and he said, "If he had told you to do something difficult and bizarre, you would have done it. All he said was, 'Go wash and be cleaned.'" So Nahum decided to do what Elisha had said to do, and he was healed of his leprosy from that time. How often, when we are given the simplest of instructions, we ignore it because we long for the complicated. We long for the hard and the difficult. We need a breakthrough and a change in our situation, but we don't want to pray. Pray, yes, we have to pray because prayer changes things. Prayer, as we know, is a conversation with God. It is our time to spend time with the Master, knowing that he is well able to work out whatever it is that we need. Oh, but we don't want to pray. We don't have time to pray. There's too many other things that I have to do that are far more important. We're waiting on someone else to pray, and God is waiting on us to pray. You and I, he's waiting for us to pray. Prayer demonstrates your faith in God, and God blesses us through our faith. There were a few more miracles before we come to our 7th miracle performed by Elisha. But let's hear what the Lord has to say to us today in this hour about that 7th miracle. The scripture verse we read begins at verse 8, saying, "The king of Aram was at war with Israel. He talked things over with his officers." I'm reading from the NIV. Then he says, "I'm going to set up my camp in a certain place." The man of God sent a message to the king of Israel. It said, "Try to stay away from that place. Aram's army is going to be down there." The king of Israel checked on the place the man of God had told him about. Time after time, Elisha warned the king. So the king was on guard in those places. After all of this made the king of Aram angry. He sent his officers, and he said to them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "You are my king and master," said his officers. "None of us is on Israel's side. But Elisha is a prophet in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the very word you speak in your bedroom. Go and find out where he is," the king ordered. Then I can send my men and capture him. The report came back. It says he is in Dotham. Then the king sent horses and chariots and a strong army there. They went at night and surrounded the city. Here we have the king of the Assyrians who planned to destroy and kill the Israelites. He was angry because the man of God saw what he had planned and advised the king of Israel each and every time. He was so angry, he sent a chariot of horses to Dotham, to where Elisha was to kill him. They went out by night and surrounded the city. Elisha was a praying man, so he no doubt knew they were coming. If God has shown him the impending attack on Israel, God certainly had shown him the army was coming for him. That's what happens when you pray. God will speak to you when you pray. My first word of encouragement to you today is the presence of God. God is present in our life and in our prayers. When we pray, we commune with God. It is a time to connect with God. It is a time of direction from God. It is a time when God changes things. Prayer will change things. Here in this scripture, which we have shared with you, we see the enemy was trying to destroy God's people. But the praying man of God, he prayed and he believed God, and God showed him what was to come. God revealed the plan of destruction with him that he might warn the people. Elisha knew without prayer and supplication that the enemy could get a foothold and that the enemy would come and destroy them. But prayer changes things. The enemy was all around them, yet Elisha said nothing. The scripture goes on to tell us that the servant of the man of God got up the next morning. He went out early and he saw that the army with the horses and the chariots had surrounded the city. My master, the servant, said, "What can we do?" And this is when God gave me the second word to share with you today. And that word is protection of God. Elisha's servant was beside himself in fear when he saw the army of horsemen and chariots. He became so frightened, he said to Elisha, "What can we do?" In other words, the enemy is all around us. There is no way out. No doubt this was Elisha's servant was a man of God. You see, servants, people of God, surround themselves with godly people. There is nothing worse than hanging around someone who can't get a prayer through in a time of need. You need to know who you're hanging with. You need to know who your friends are. You need to know who you can trust to get a prayer through when you need a prayer. There is nothing worse than being with someone who can't even say, "Lord, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, where shall I go?" You need a praying friend to hang around with. Now here we have this army that has gathered all around the city where Elisha and his servant was living. And when they were there on the orders of their king, they came to destroy Elisha. When one of them was talking, the other one was praying. Here we have the man of God who has a servant that thinks that what he sees with his natural eye is going to be the outcome. It is in the prayer that we see the natural change to the supernatural. Prayer changes things. Elisha didn't try to explain to him or say to him, "We're going to be all right." But what he did do was begin to pray. Just as he began to pray, he encouraged his servant when he said, "Don't be afraid," the prophet said. "Those who are with us are more than those that are with them." Here we have an army encamped all around them, ready and able to attack and kill them. But Elisha didn't see the enemy. He saw protection. Elisha saw the mighty heavenly host that God had sent to protect them. When we are in a place of despair and can't see our way out, God will send protection for us. God will send someone who's able to bring us out. We're looking at what is before us, and God has sent a mighty heavenly host to protect us. When we spend time with God in His Word, in meditation, in prayer, we come to realize that God is bigger than your imagination, bigger than your enemy, bigger than what you think. God is bigger than what you see and what you have. If you spend time with God in prayer, God will show you great and mighty things. We get caught up with running around with doing nothing, trying to fix it in our own strength, trying to fight the enemy, trying to win the battle ourselves. But God has already made a way. God has already opened a door. He's already closed the door that needed to be closed. He has already expanded your territory. He has already sent healing. He sent a friend to help you. He's already moved the obstacles out of your way that rob you of your peace day in and day out. But we can't see it. We can't see it because we're too busy being angry and bitter. The very one you're cutting off is the very one God sent to help you. Somebody better get that today. The very one you're sending to cut, you've cut off, God has sent to help you today. Hear what God is saying to His people today. God has sent someone. He has sent someone to help you, but you don't want the help because you're seeing God through your own eyes. And we need to pray and ask God for supernatural eyes that we can see where our help comes from. We need to pray for God's protection from the enemy who seek to kill, steal, and destroy us. And we have to take it to the Lord in prayer. We would know that God is our protection. As I told you earlier, the word has already come forth through the song, through the prayer, through the time of fellowship. And so I bring to you this last word. We know that God has been with us. We know that God is our protector. And lastly, we need to know that God is a provider. The last word I'd like to leave with you today is provision. When we have tried all that we know, we need to try the one who knows it all. David said it best when he penned this song of confidence in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advanced against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foe attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. And I love it best the way it's said in the NIV Reader's Version. It says, Lord, give me light and save me. Why shall I fear anyone? The Lord is my place of safety. Why shall I be afraid? My enemies are evil. They will trip and fall when they attack me and try to eat me alive. Even if an army attack me, my heart will not fear. Even if war breaks out against me, I will still trust in God. Elisha knew what David knew. When we put our trust in God, He will be present. He will be your protector and He will be your provider in your time of need and even in your time of want. Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Paul was saying that even if a situation, even if a person or an army of destruction come up against us, that God will be on our side no matter what. When you feel trapped by the enemy, you can sing that song from the old school. Hit me with your best shot. Fire away with confidence because you know that the enemy will rise up against us. But God, who is with us, is more than those that are against us. God is your presence. He is your protection and He is your provision. Elijah, he prayed and God was present in the situation. God had sent protection and God had made provisions for him and his servant and the people of Israel in spite of themselves. Elisha didn't stop praying. In fact, he did what we should do more often. He prayed for someone else in need. The scripture tells us Elisha prayed, Lord, open my servant's eyes that he can see. Then the Lord opened up his eyes. He looked up and he saw the hills. He saw that Elisha was surrounded by the heavenly host of horses and chariots. Fire was all around them. Their provision had come. Their protection had come. The presence of the Lord was there with them. Many times as believers, followers of Christ, we see somebody who is not there yet. But God, we need to pray and ask God, Lord, open their eyes that they might see. I can recall how the Lord had given me vision to share a few financial opportunities that had some risk and required some sacrifice. But the people who the Lord had led me to help, they didn't want to see. They could not see the vision. But instead of me going to the Lord and say, Lord, help their unbelief. Lord, help their blindness. Open up their eyes that they might see. Perhaps if I had done that, years of backbreaking struggle could have been avoided. Years of unnecessarily toiling with nothing to show in the end could have been saved. So I ask you today, pray for those who cannot see what God has shown you. Believe for them that they are, because they are not yet able to believe for themselves. The time and the day will come when your prayer and your witness will make the difference in more than one way. Someone will come to put prayer first in their lives. Someone will come to see the supernatural power of God and believe that Jesus died that we might see. As I bring this message to a close, I ask you to just take a look at this last verse, 19. The scripture says, Aram's army came down toward Elisha. Then he prayed to the Lord. He said, make these soldiers blind. So the Lord made them blind just as Elisha had prayed. Here we see the Assyrian army coming toward Elisha and his servant, no doubt to kill them as they had been ordered by their wicked king. But Elisha prayed, make these soldiers blind. So the Lord made them blind just as Elisha had prayed. The Lord is saying the problem is that we don't believe prayer changes things. We want change, but we don't want to believe God is able to bring about change. When we pray, we have to pray in the will of God. And we have to believe that God wants what is best for us. We have to pray in his will that we are aligned with God's plan for us. Sometimes when we don't get what we want, we said the prayer wasn't answered. Yes, it was. It just wasn't what you asked for. Somebody better grab a hold of that today. The prayer was answered, but you don't like the answer. But when you're in the will of God, you will accept whatever God sends your way. It's not easy, but you ask God to help you to accept his will. We have to come to understand that even Jesus himself prayed for everything. He prayed for the lost he was sent to find. He prayed for his disciples and his students. He even prayed for himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus even prayed for his enemies as they nailed him to the cross because he knew prayer changes things. Prayer will change your mind if you're doing something that isn't right. Prayer will change your heart if you think you cannot forgive. Prayer will make your enemy your footstool because prayer changes things. Someone is wondering, Lord, where are you today? And he's saying to you, right where I've always been, beside you. Elisha prayed and asked God not to kill the enemy, but to blind them. So they became harmless, no threat to him, to his servant, or the people of God. We too must pray for our enemy that God will blind them to their intentions to harm us, to the negative words they sent out into the atmosphere about us. But more importantly, to open up their eyes, the eyes of those who truly desire that they might see the presence of God, the protection of God, and the provisions of God. I close with this story, an email story that most of you is probably familiar with. It's been told in so many ways. But I'm going to tell it and put it all together in the way that I understood it so that you will hear what God is saying today. Prayer changes things. This story was told so many times, but there were two missionaries who were serving in an area of great need. The village where they was very remote, So they had to go a long distance to get supplies and medicines that they needed to help the people. They left early one morning, arriving in the town where they received their supplies, medicines, and financial assistance. While in town, a few robbers saw them get their supplies, the medicine, and the money. They decided to enlist the help of some other thieves to come along with them to rob the missionaries once they were out in the jungle area where no one could see them. They followed and plotted their plan to rob and to kill them. When night fell, the missionaries decided to stop and to make camp and get up early the next morning and finish their journey. That night, while they were sleeping, the robbers came. But when they got there, there was a heavenly host, armed and was encamped all around the missionaries. To the robbers, the angels appeared to be an army, so they ran off. Weeks later, when the robbers tried to rob someone else, they were injured. And they went looking for help in the same village where the missionaries were working. They tried to rob earlier. When the robber saw the missionaries, he said to them, "I know you." The missionary says, "No, I don't think we've ever met." The robber told the story of the night when he was alone, when he, along with some others, followed the missionaries to rob them. But when they came upon them at night to rob them, there was an army of guards watching over them. They were heavily armed, so we fled. The missionary said, "We don't have an army. You must be mistaken." But the robber said, "No, I'm not. We saw them." God allow your enemy to see what you cannot see. God will cause your enemy to flee because he's in presence with you, because he will protect you, because he is your provision. No doubt these missionaries prayed because prayer changes things. Start your day with prayer. Pray all through the day. Before you go to bed at night, send up a prayer to the Lord. Prayer changes things. If you're too busy to pray, you're just too busy. As believers and followers of Christ, we ought to pray all the time because prayer changes things. Pray so your eyes might be open, that you might see the natural, supernatural power of God. I say to you today, somebody is seeking God's face for something. Somebody been wondering, "Why have you been, God? Why haven't you come to see about me, Lord?" But the Lord is saying, "I asked you to pray, but you didn't pray. You went to other people and asked them to pray." But God is saying the answer is in your prayer. Yes, Kathy Hodge, Deaconess Hodge can pray for you. The intercessors can pray. But you need to learn how to pray for yourself. God has said the answer is already there, but I'm not going to release it until you bow down and pray to me. God is saying you better humble yourself before me and know that I'm well able to work it out. So often, we expect something to come to us and we don't have to do anything. But whatever you don't put anything in, you don't get anything out. You better learn how to turn your face towards the Lord and learn how to pray. I know some of you, all of you, most of you pray that you seek the Lord's face. But I'm saying to you that prayer changes things. There's something that you're looking for. There's something that you need. There is something that you want. But God is saying, "I'm looking for you to turn to me. I'm looking for you to pray without ceasing. Don't pray until something happens. Just push right on through. Pray like you never prayed before. Believe that I can make a difference. Believe that I can change your situation." But more importantly, I was so moved. And I have, from the day I read it, I was moved, and I always go back to it every now and then. I was moved by the fact that there was a supernatural host encamped all around Elisha and his servant. Don't you know that there's a supernatural host encamped all around us? You can't see them because you're not open. Your eyes are not open. But if you pray, God will help you to see them. They're here to be present with you. They're here to protect you. They're here to cause provisions to be made for you. God will send his heavenly host to take care of you. If you just trust him, if you just pray to him, if you just believe in faith that God is able to do it. And when you believe in faith, know that it has to be in God's will. Every prayer you answer isn't going to. You might not get the new Lexus. You may not get the new Mercedes. You may not get the apartment on Prospect Avenue. But God will meet you right where you are. Sometimes we ask for things we don't even need. Sometimes we ask for things we can't even handle. I shared with my young adult Sunday school class that I was at the gas station and I was putting gas in my Camry, my 12-year-old Camry that's still running, that's still on the road, that's still got me going. And up rode this nice truck. I'm not going to call the name of the truck, but it was a nice truck. Here I was filling my tank I know that if I fill the tank, it will go a little longer. The gas will last a little longer. But here was this couple that rode up in their nice truck. And they said to the man, could you put $10 in it? And I said to myself, if all you can put is $10 in it, honey, you don't need it. So sometimes you can ask God for stuff that you can't handle. So trust God and ask him to let you be in his will. That he'll give you what you need. He'll even give you what you want. But learn how to trust God. And you find that when you lead down to pray. So now I say to you that Jesus went to Calvary. He gave it all that we might have life and have it abundantly. And so I say to you today, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as the one who is present with you, if you don't know him as the one that who is able to protect you, if you don't know that he is a provider, because you don't have a relationship with God, I ask that you would stand to your feet as the deacons come forth. You don't have to do it for me. Do it for yourself. God is speaking to someone today.
Oh, my brother.
That all I want you to do is learn how to pray. And prayer is simple. It's just a conversation. You have it with friends all the time. But when you read his word, would you please stand? When you read the word of God, you read the promises of God and what he said he would do for us. And so I say to you today, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He'll be present with you. He will protect you. And he will be your provider.
My brother, we offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister.
Perhaps you have already received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you're not connected to a body, to a fellowship, to a church. Mount Olive is a wonderful church. It's not a perfect church because there are no perfect church. Because the people is the church. And because we're not perfect, there cannot be a perfect church. But we are a people striving to do the will of God. And so we invite you to be a part of this fellowship and this church.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother.
We this is your opportunity.
We offer Christ.
Tomorrow
to you.
Is not promised.
Oh my sister.
You have today, but you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
He will give you
publicly acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. That he died on Calvary for your sins and mine. And that he has provided salvation for us.
Come on.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I pray that as we leave here today, that something I said in some way, somehow, touched your heart, touched your mind, or touched your soul to know that God is ever present with us. The Lord promised never to leave us nor forsake us. that the Lord will protect you from the enemy. He'll send the heavenly hosts to encamp all around you. Even when you think you can't make it, God will show you, yes, you can, because I said you can make it. I hope you'll remember that he is a provider. That even in the midst, God, I thank you, Lord. Lord, they say the children shall lead us. This young lady has come to join with us in fellowship at Mount Olive Baptist Church. I thank God that there is no hour that's too late, and time doesn't run out as long as you are alive. But when your eyes close, it's too late. God is calling you now. Is there another? This is your opportunity to accept and receive Jesus as your Savior. May we stand. Lord, we thank you. And I ask that no one leave before the benediction is completed. The benediction is a prayer that covers God's people as they leave his house. And so I ask that you not miss your blessing today. That you not block the hand of God that wants to protect you, that wants to provide for you and wants to be present with you. Lord, our Father, we thank you for allowing us to assemble together today, God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we might ask. Lord, we give you praise, we give you thanks, O God, and we continue to worship your holy and righteous name. God, cover us from the enemy. Send the heavenly hosts that they may encamp around us, O God. Lord, provide for us always, God, and we'll continue to worship you, God. Lord, even when it don't look like we're going to come out of it, God, we believe that you can bring us out. God, we thank you today. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. And the people of God say amen. Amen. Amen.